This is Shop Talk, our weekly discussion of journalism issues. I'm Rich Egger.
I'm Will Buss.
And I'm Jasmine Crichton.
Lorraine Branham is dean of the S.I. Newhouse School of Public Communications at Syracuse University in New York. In a piece for the Huffington Post, she says journalism has faltered since the time when the Watergate investigation inspired her and many others to pursue a career in the field. She points in particular to the media failing to understand President Donald Trump's rise to power. But she says there is still hope if journalism educators emphasize to students that journalism serves as a watchdog, that reporters stick to facts, and that they should pursue the truth no matter where it takes them. She also says teachers need to emphasize there is a difference between the media and journalists. And you're both journalism educators, mm-hmm. So take it away, Will.
Well, I would say that we need to specify what the media means, and to say that not all media per se is really journalism, I think. We talk about exercising and using social media for journalism to reach more people. That's fine. But when you talk about the media's lying, well, there's lots of mass media around. And people need to become more educated to know when they're dealing with what's truly the bedrock journalism and what people call media.
Yeah, just because you see it pop up on your Facebook feed and it looks possibly legitimate, it doesn't mean that it is from a legitimate journalist. And that's a really important differentiation to make, to understand that you're looking at something that's just maybe a PR piece or something that just was made to make someone look good or made to make someone look really bad. I mean, there are plenty of people who put out hit pieces all the time on people. They're paid to do that, especially when you have campaigns coming about. You want to look for journalists. You want to look for people who maybe you recognize as journalists, not people who just randomly pop up on your Facebook feed.
Well, the cable television news channels try to fill 24 hours, 7 days a week, and that's difficult to do. So they often have talk shows or they have panel discussions where people are sharing their opinions and debating about issues. And that's not really what we would call journalism, but because it's on a news channel, perhaps in some people's minds, that is journalism.
Yeah, it's really hard when you have those pundits up there who are pretty much spinning whatever they want to say. Mm-hmm. It's really hard to fact check in real time. And if you have maybe just one or two anchors there, you're not probably able to fact check like that. And, you have maybe a couple producers in the back and they're looking up things, but it's not happening as quickly as you need it to when you're having people live on air. And they really do fill up most of their time with those types of segments. And I think that's a really big problem because then people are just able to say whatever they want. They get away with it for as long as they get away with it. You do have some journalists, some anchors who are really quick on their feet and they're able to point things out and call people on whatever they just said. But that doesn't happen all the time and it doesn't happen enough.
You also get news anchors who have to make some sort of quick quip at the end of a story, have to offer some sort of additional comment. I see this a lot on television. Is this something consultants are telling them they should do? Because I think that kind of blurs the line between journalism and the media, if you will.
I don't know if consultants are telling them to do that because I haven't been working with consultants, but I noticed that as an educator, I see students doing that sometimes, and I think they think it's cute, or they think they're trying to connect with their audience in some way. And there are a lot of times I have to say, hey, that doesn't really make sense to say that, or I think that's just inappropriate to say, things like that. And I have to call them out on that, and I will get some defiance every so often. Well, I think that was fine to say. And I go, well, just take it to a professional station and see what happens.
Yeah, I think that's the kind of the Sports Center phenomenon that we saw from ESPN.
Sure.
And
mm-hmm.
the morning zoo DJ and Snark is the order of the day. And we saw this kind of proliferate. And it became cute and amusing, not only to be informative, but also to be amusing at the news desk. And it really has, as Rich says, blurred that line between objectivity and subjectivity. And getting to a point that you made earlier, Jasmine, and something we've talked about on this program before, of how particular interest groups are trying to reach people. They're doing it in the guise of looking like mm-hmm. objective, legitimate media, even posting what looks like newspaper pages online, which is somewhat flattering as a newspaper person. But in the same sense, people need to be very well scrutinized over what they see online and what kind of pop-ups they're getting, and being able to scrutinize over what is legitimate or what is subjective information.
Yeah, you wrote a column about this in the McDonough County Voice, if
yes.
I'm correct, Will, if
yes.
I'm remembering correctly.
Yes.
And one of the things you suggest is sticking to names that you know, New York Times, NPR, whatever the case might be.
Absolutely. I think you can't go wrong with the legacy journalism. Not to say you can't try or give a trial basis to something new, but, you know, read it with a scrutinizing eye and, you know, take the time to look through the news that's being presented with you, just like you're scrutinizing making a car purchase or something. You're looking for quality. But you can never go wrong with the long-standing 100, 200-year-plus bedrock and old reliables like a newspaper and the long-standing radio and TV stations.
And the reason you can't go wrong with those legacy newspapers is because they are still telling the stories as they should be.
Right.
The writing is important. They are fact-checking. They're not coming. I mean, there are plenty of people who think that, oh, well, journalism needs to catch up with the times. Well, good journalism is good journalism. Just,
right.
I mean, just because something is mostly digital now doesn't change what we do.
Fact-checking has always been a part of good journalism. To imply that we need fact-checking or a fact-check desk or vetting desk, maybe that speaks to the fact that we have shrinking newsrooms because of shrinking revenue and the economic challenges more than journalists never have done their job. It's always been expected of them to be fact-checkers.
Yeah, I don't mean to sound like an old curmudgeon, but I really disagree with the idea that you're just not keeping up with the times. Journalism, telling the truth, sticking to the facts, pursuing the truth no matter where it takes you, these are principles of journalism that have lasted for centuries and should continue to last because this is how we get fair and accurate reporting out there. I think all these other digital platforms are ways of getting your stories out there, but that doesn't mean you should change the rules of journalism.
Absolutely. I mean, these are the cornerstones for which journalism was built and founded. These newspapers have been operating 100, 150, 200 years for some. And it's the hallmark of what's always been done. And nothing's gone away from it. What's really changed, though, as I've just to harp on before, is the fact that the size of newsrooms and the staff and the funding and their economic abilities, that's what's changed.
And with that, we are out of time for today. Our listeners can join us again next week at this time for more of Shop Talk.